You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 31. This episode, A Burning Rage of Venice.
Welcome to the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm your host, Frank Mateo. Joining me today are Kuhan, the relatively nowhere in sight borders guy. Where are you right now, anyway?
What? I'm in Boston, Massachusetts.
See, look, that's just weird. I don't even know where the hell that is. Carlton, normally, you know, if it's out, he'll buy it, he'll read it, he might enjoy it. How are you doing?
Fantastic, my good sir.
Eric, lover of things weird, but not weird. I think he doesn't like Raven's haircut.
Hi. I don't know. I don't know what we're describing.
The hell was that?
Really disinteresting. Yeah. How's it going?
So everybody? Bored. We're so bored.
And we have Brandon West intrigued as to why he's here.
Yep.
I feel like we already did like this big whole full show and now it's like, oh yeah, so.
Yeah, so basically, today we're going to be reviewing three issues. Flash.
Not one, not two, but three.
No, Eric, what were we going to say?
We're also going to be reviewing one and two. But no, I'll ask. It's something show related. I'll just ask later.
Wait, what?
One and two what?
I'll just ask later. Just go.
No, what? One and two what?
No, we're going to be reviewing all three issues here. You're saying we're going to be. Never mind. Just talk, Frank. Please.
Thank you.
Okay. Please, just end this misery.
Okay, so we're going to be reviewing three issues today. Flashpoint's Omnisir number one, the first issue of the three-parter Omnisir storyline taking place during the Flashpoint miniseries. And the two prequel issues of the Green Lantern movie, Tomar Rae and Kilowog, standalone one-shot issues. Starting off, Flashpoint. Flashpoint has been much taking place, you know, the entire universe has been retconned into this weird, obscure mess of a universe that it is. And Omnisir is the sole Green Lantern of Sector 2814. And basically, I think they're still suffering from Blackest Night. I have no idea.
They are.
Blackest Night, it's more than Blackest Night now. It's Blackest Forever, I guess, right? In this universe.
I guess so. I think they pushed them into the Lost Sector or something.
No,
like that.
I think they haven't been able to stop them because Hal Jordan wasn't there to save the universe.
Of course,
yeah, but aren't they supposed to attack Earth first? I don't understand why they're anywhere else.
Don't forget. But the whole setup is they can't destroy a Black Lantern without a Green Lantern and another ring type. But as you can see, Atrocious is still pinned to his thing, and maybe none of the other rings.
But he's got the Red Lantern symbol on him.
Yeah, he still has the Red Lantern again.
Yeah, I don't understand what that's about.
Well, the one thing I don't understand is how can you literally stave off the end of the universe, seeing that during the Blackest Night, it took all hell just to keep him at bay on the Earth's surface.
It was only one night anyway in Blackest Night. But
yet, yeah, on a singular night, they were like overrunning the entire Earth.
And so since Omnisir's alive, I guess there's no Indigo or whatever, because that doesn't work out. And then there's no Yellow, obviously. So it's just Atrocitus who's just there and crap forever. Right.
So we can all see if Hal Jordan was not there, the Blackest Night would have never reached the Earth's home front. Ovin wouldn't be dead. Sinestro would still be a Green Lantern, and the Guardians would have bulbous see-through heads.
Hold on. Now, Brandon, I assume as the resident Flash, everything, you know what's going. Like, why is Flashpoint happening? Do we know that yet, or is it just?
Not in story, you don't, yeah. But the Reverse Flash changed the timeline.
But
how
did he do a bunch of things?
He went back in time and did something during.
He might have changed multiple times.
So all we know is that he changed something. We don't know what he changed specifically.
He did something to change the timeline.
Because I assume like the first thing he would do is stop Barry Allen from getting his powers because he's still Barry Allen still.
No, because he needs Barry Allen to have his powers.
The first thing he did was throw Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel off the roof.
Because I was reading Flashpoint 1, and Barry didn't have his powers in Flashpoint 1.
Technically, we don't know if he doesn't have his powers.
But he couldn't run fast, right?
I thought he didn't have his powers.
Doesn't mean he doesn't have his powers. It just means his power could be locked away.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Okay, so he did something and we don't know what he did. Yeah, it's possible. It's comic logic. So he did something. We don't know what he did. And
Because again, as we all know in Jeff Johns' giant timeline of logical things that make sense, if Flash exists, the reverse Flash exists, creating a negative speed force. If neither of those counteractive chemicals or reactions exist in this universe, neither of them can actually promote.
No. Flash can't exist without the Flash, though. Right.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense because he still remembers certain things from the timeline he's already changed, so he would still exist with his powers.
Barry
has to create the speed force, so the reverse Flash can have his negative speed force.
Exactly. Right.
Why can't the reverse Flash just figure out how Barry created the speed force and created himself?
Because
Barry is the speed force.
Yeah, but
Barry's mere existence generates the speed force.
But doesn't it create the speed force in all time? Like somehow it also made the speed force exist in like the 1900s?
Yes.
So why can't?
But if Barry never gets his powers, then the Speed Force is never created. Then
but why doesn't he just kill Barry?
Right after if he kills Barry, he gets no negative Speed Force. So
sure
it creates a time paradox.
If he kills Barry right after he gets his power, like Barry gets his powers and then reverse.
But then he never.
Hold on.
Explanation first.
Okay, so if Barry gets his powers and then Reverse Flash kills Barry, the Speed Force existed right as Barry got his powers because it exists in the future, it exists in the past, it exists forever because Barry got his powers ever.
No, but
he could do anything he wants when it comes to Barry. He could just get 16 of himself to come back and kill Barry. There's a reason he hasn't killed Barry. I mean,
the main reason apparently is that the way the Speed Force is generated, again by Jeff Johns' logic, is that every time Barry ran, he generated a force.
Oh.
An invisible force that created the Speed Force. So every time he stepped forward, he created the Speed Force. That's how it works. Throughout space and time, the moment he runs, he's generating a field of energy. Now, again, if
it's just so stupid.
Yeah, Reverse Flash goes back in time and kills Barry Allen prior to becoming or generating enough speed to create the Speed Force. He can never, identify the energy and create the Reverse Flash power. He can never.
But why can't he just tap into the energy himself? It's comic books. I mean, there's no reason he can't create his own energy.
He did. That's the thing. That's the main thing that the Reverse Flash did. He created his own energy. He created a negative speed force by tapping into the regular speed force the Barry created.
So does it have to be as big as the other speed force, or can one be bigger than the other?
It's equal. They are equal in mass, apparently.
And this is all to explain that this is not our universe.
Right.
It doesn't really work, because then that would mean Thawne has no effect whatsoever on the negative speed force, then why would he even be active in the negative speed force? Like
he creates the negative speed force himself, but he cannot create it without the positive speed force existing.
Exactly.
Well, then he could still – Kuhan's logic still makes sense, though. He could still kill Barry Allen, and then the speed force exists, and then if it never gets any bigger, why wouldn't he be able to increase one over the other? I mean, that doesn't – make any sense.
But if he kills Barry Allen, then he never had the negative speed force in the first place to go back to kill Barry Allen and get the speed force in the first place.
No, that's not how it works.
And my head just exploded.
The way it works is because, again, Barry Allen has to make a name for himself. He has to become the Flash. He has to become capable of becoming a threat.
Okay, but in the Flashpoint universe, he didn't. In the Flashpoint universe, that never happened, right?
True. He never becomes a Flash. There's never a Flash in the Flashpoint universe.
That doesn't make any sense, because Thawne, in that one issue of Flash, went back and changed a bunch of things about his life. If those things didn't happen, he wouldn't have gone back in time to change them, which means he had to go back in time.
No. It's not like Back to the Future time travel. It's like ridiculous. Doesn't make sense. Time travel.
Time travel. Yeah.
Right.
Zoom himself cannot be affected by the time travel.
Correct. But the thing is that you're saying if Barry's blah blah blah, but like this is the same universe where Barry Allen is the Flash but changed, Right. And he's not, and he's now, he was never, I don't know, we don't know whether or not he had ever had his powers, but he was never the Flash.
No, there was never a Flash.
He might have had powers, but he was never the Flash. There was never Flash. He might have gotten to run fast at some point in time in this universe. We don't know. Because it could be the powers are locked away, quote unquote. But we know that there was never a Flash.
But here's the tricky dicky of the entire thing. In Flash's ring,
that means there's no Jay Garrick too.
In Flashpoint number 2, we know that the Reverse Flash's costume is inside his ring.
I have not read Flashpoint number 2 yet, so
I have not read Flashpoint number 1.
All right, so basically, here's the sticky wicket of the situation, and you know, this is my prediction as to what's going on in this universe. Barry Allen is the Reverse Flash in this universe. That's what happens.
That's not possible.
Oh yeah, like changing all the time in some creative way.
What I'm thinking of it, that makes sense. Because
but then if he's the Reverse Flash, then who's the Flash?
No. He is the Reverse Flash. He is both.
Real Flash.
Then what did Thwain gain from all this crap?
He gained what he always wanted.
To erase.
How are you having
existence?
Trouble pronouncing his last name?
To be the hero.
His first name's a hard one.
Ebard.
Yeah, the whatever. No, Thawne is the easy one. You guys are all pronouncing it weird.
I said Thawne.
Yeah, no, anyways. it's interesting because we're not even talking about the comic yet. But
yeah, let's talk about that since I don't want to be too spoiled about Flashpoint.
Sorry, I was trying to...
Well, it's not our fault you're not reading it. I mean, here's the deal, though, right? It would be interesting if in Flashpoint, Zoom went back and changed one thing which made all this stuff happen. I would love it if they could figure out a way that happened. But there's so many different – if you're reading any of the tie-ins, there's so many things that are completely different about this universe that seem to be completely independent of one singular event.
Right.
Like why does Abin Sur look like he does in the movie? I mean there's no explanation for that. Like, how
artistic license.
That's an artistic way of thing. That doesn't matter. But like why
–
how does Barry Allen not being the Flash connect to – Bruce Wayne having being killed instead of Thomas Wayne.
Yeah, like how did he make Thomas Wayne more aggressive by also making Superman not exist? Making sure that Aquaman and Wonder Woman don't get married.
Right. So maybe he did multiple things. He back to multiple points in time and decided to change it like this, and then.
I would love it if they could figure a way.
All
that
we have
that
so
was just
far
the one.
Is a quote from Thawne in I think it's Booster Gold 45 where he says. I don't have time for this right now. I have business to attend to. And that was supposed to be a flashback back to the Time Master series where apparently they ran into Thawne causing Flashpoint.
Yeah, I don't know what he did, but he did something. Not a good issue.
So,
very, very, like 17 splash pages. Very much an issue that was kind of just generated in order to tie into the event. This big Abin Sur push is kind of like the I don't know, some kind of weird, like, again, it's a movie push, but it's like
who cares about Abin Sur?
That's Sabretooth when the first X-Men movie came out.
It's like, who really cares? I mean, and it's interesting, but it's not like if you revealed some interesting points of his history, it'd be like, oh, cool. But it's kind of like, I don't know anything about this character at all. And to show an alternate version of a character who only exists to be the guy who gave Hal Jordan the ring, it's kind of like, I don't care. And then most of it's just a big hand job to like other Green Lantern stories in the last few years.
Well, again, they're trying to do a big push between the legacy of it all. Like, you know, the character that came before and seeing the shoes of that they're stepping into.
It's hard to take something out of this, though.
Why do the Guardians just straight up tell Abin Sur about the White Entity when it was like the biggest secret of all time for like billions of years?
Because apparently, years suspended in the case of Flashpoint. This is our year of Abin Sur's story. This is like, you know, 2011. A lot of things have happened.
Again, the whole universe is getting torn apart by Black Lanterns. I think they have a little bit less to worry about than secrets.
Again, it's one of those things that, you know, and I've explained this before, and I talked to you about it before, Eric, is that it feels more like you're jumping onto a story that seems to have had 100 issues prior to it.
That's fine. It's just the way they explain it. He's like, hey, how come Earth's so important? And they're like, oh, there's a white entity there. What is that? It's the birth of all life. Abin Sur's like, okay, cool. Like, but like, presumably, you know, Thawne didn't change all history, you know, like billions of years ago. So it's kind of like they're just – what they're doing is they're taking for granted that
you know all this stuff about recent Green Lantern history, but they're not adding anything else to the story. You know,
no, there aren't. That's
they are and they aren't.
They're not, no.
They might in the next issue.
No, they're not. Hal Jordan's going to be Green Lantern again. It's just going to be everything's late now. Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, I think so.
I don't know. It's hard for me to speculate on Flashpoint because it's so completely – I mean it's almost impossible to speculate on DC Comics, which would be normally exciting. Like, I don't know how it's going to end, but it's just because it's so insanely arbitrary. You know, like, what are we even talking about? You know what I mean? Like,
I have no clue what's going on right now. Like, it's just things are happening.
I'm wondering if this whole Flashpoint universe is supposed to be what the universe is the precursor to what the reboot universe is going to look like.
Well, technically, that's what we're supposed to get out of it. We'll get to that a little bit later. I think
that might be how they frame the reboot, is that they're like, oh, we got to go back and fix all the Flashpoint stuff, but we fixed some of the things kind of wrong.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Again, we'll get into that a little bit later. But I was trying to say, agree with Brandon, that there are some things that we are sort of getting from the story. We are getting a more in-depth look onto Avansur, which is, again, a character who we know very little of, but it's still like a main character, a main focal point in, you know, Green Lantern history.
That's the thing, though. But okay, no, I understand we're getting a bit of an in-depth look into Abin Sur, but we're getting an in-depth look into an alternate universe Abin Sur, first of all, and a character that we don't need to know anything about because.
And I think
we don't need to know anything about Abin Sur because, like, first of all, I mean, yes, there is the BS Jeff Johns stories that are tied into all this Abin Sur back history, and that's why this exists, because we need to know what his involvement is with Indigo One. But really, Abin Sur, it doesn't matter what Abin Sur was. He was just a dying alien that gave Hal Jordan a ring. That's all we should need to know about him.
Now, in the new history, we
need to know more crap about him.
I don't necessarily mind. I think the idea of, like, learning about Abin Sur is cool, and having stories about Abin Sur is cool. I do, because it's kind of interesting, because there's a lot of untapped potential there. Problematically, this entire Flashpoint issue is based on implied information that we knew about Abin Sur only from Jeff Johns' recent issues, like very recent issues, which have contradicted themselves, being reversed. Like, we're supposed to be like, what if Abin Sur's sister had died earlier? You know, and it's like the whole situation between him and Sinestro is predicated on the fact that we're supposed to believe that Sinestro was in love with his sister and that he loved his sister very much. And this is a brand new character, his sister, who's only existed in the comic as a backstory, like shoehorned into dialogue from Sinestro that, you know, all of a sudden is his motivation when it's never been that way before. You know, so basically what they're doing is
true. Okay, I can agree with you on some point, but should that hinder the character?
No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm saying there is no Abin Sur. What they're doing here is they're showing us a reversal of an Abin Sur character that we've never seen before. So they're reversing a character that doesn't exist. It's essentially like having the first episode of a TV show showing a character possessed by evil, and for you to be like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. It's like, why wouldn't I believe he did that? For all I know, he's always done that. Like, this is the only Abin Sur we've ever seen in the Jeff Johns continuity. It's kind of silly. It's like they're reverse character developing him in order to develop his character. I mean, it's just so intrinsically tied into the Jeff Johns stuff. It's kind of like, this is supposed to be this is supposed to be a prismized version of the Jeff Johns Abin Sur. I don't know anything about the Jeff Johns Abin Sur besides the fact that he had a sister, and him and Sinestro apparently used to be friends or something. So, you know, again, it's Kuhan's hitting a point where I don't necessarily agree with Kuhan that it isn't interesting to get stuff about Abin Sur. I do 100% agree that this is not Abin Sur. It doesn't matter. You know, like, it's a reverse of an Abin Sur that we've never met.
Right. No, I guess I agree with that. Like, I was kind of saying, yeah, I don't really need to know anything about Abin Sur. But yeah, it's interesting to get a story about Abin Sur where we watched Emerald Knights, and that was a Jeff Johns story about Abin Sur in there, and a ridiculous Jeff Johns story about Abin Sur that was based on Tigers but wasn't Tigers. But it was Abin Sur. It was the Abin Sur of I guess kind of our universe, because that's kind of I mean, you know, not necessarily so much, but it's kind of like the Abin Sur of our universe, and that story is more interesting than this, because this is a different Abin Sur and completely different character motivations. It's not the same thing at all.
Plus there's too many splash pages. Every other page is a splash page.
Okay. Where's Andrew when you need him?
Okay, I can agree with that. Colton, you have a weigh in on this?
I could definitely agree that the main problem is this isn't the real Abin Sur. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I like alternate universe stuff, but we don't have any reason to care, really. I mean, we could get development that could make us care in the next issue or the issue after that, because there's still two more issues, I believe. But for right now, we just have this backstory that's setting up for this character, an alternate version of this character that we never see. And I want to see if they can make me care about him. I want to see if they can make something interesting out of this.
Okay.
That's key for me.
That was uncharacteristically concise.
Yeah, fair, I mean, basically,
fair
like
valid
I said,
point, Michael.
Yeah. I are concise.
Basically, like I said, it's I don't mind having a character, this character show up and learning about this character. I just think so much of it is you're required to understand the Geoff Johns version of it, which we've never been introduced. It's very masturbatory. You know, it's kind of like you're drawing the tail end of your own fan fiction in your head. You're like, I'm going to draw the scene where Leonardo finally kills Sinestro, and you're like, that's nothing's ever happened leading up to that. You're just drawing that part of it because you think it'd be cool. You know what I mean?
All right, I can understand that too. Brandon, what do you think?
I think that what we got out of Abensur was a nice touch. I think that in the end game, it's irrelevant because it's not our universe, or it's not the universe we care for, and it's not prevalent or relevant, rather, to anything. And it isn't, and it is. I mean, because there's no reason to think that this isn't how Abensur was raised. But then again, you're wondering, well, even if it was, what difference does it make? He's dead now, and his point or his role in the prophecy of Blackest Night is moot anyway. So I guess that's the only problem I have with it is that the only thing that we could have gained from this is pointless to what we currently reading. But as a tie-in on its own, the Flashpoint, I don't really have that big of a problem of them saying, hey, look, here's this little tidbit about Blackest Night. Shit is going down elsewhere. We need your help, Abin. And he's fundamentally against it and fundamentally for it. And he's a conflicted guy. He wants to, you know, just protect people, but he doesn't want to get into the shit that, you know, it's not going to help him in the long run.
Well, I think I also want to just really point out quick, nobody could have possibly been happy about the last page with the actually using the font of the crossover in the word balloon. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a poor choice.
Five.
That was a poor choice.
They do that a lot. They do that.
They
with,
always do that.
You know,
they do that way out. Yeah.
They do that before. They do that before storylines. They don't usually do that in the some time.
No. But they often do like, you know, hey, it's Superman.
Yeah, they do that sometimes, and that's like dramatic. It's just kind of random that he's like the Flashpoint. It wouldn't have been more powerful here if he would have said Flashpoint with that without. The font, because then you would kind of like, oh, it's an actual thing, as opposed to now I'm just thinking he's actually talking about the crossover.
Well, you know, they it's like waiting to see a movie and then having them say the name of the movie.
Okay.
And it's to just to make a final point of the issue, I can say right now again, it is an alternate story issue. It's an alternate universe. Technically, it's the same universe, just off tilted. So basically, this is an Abensur that we're supposed to know. Of course, it is the Geoff Johnsian Abensur. Like, you know, again, there's not any history that we've known prior to him. There's no revelations that we've seen before in different stories handled by different writers. There's just Abensur in the imagination of Geoff Johns' universe.
Technically, this isn't Geoff Johns. It's Adam Schlagman.
Yes, but it's coming out of that universe.
It's very editorial, yeah.
So technically, in many cases, this is an Abensur that we can imagine. Again, for a brief moment, imagine.
So are you putting it? Is that what you're saying? You're putting this in the regular canon that this is Abin's origin?
No, that this could be a point in Abin's origin that could have happened if things didn't turn the way that they turned, you know, turned into.
We're
supposed to be getting that this is the Abensur.
So where's your cutoff point?
The cutoff point would be that he didn't crash on Earth the original time. That instead of crashing on Earth and becoming the cutoff point would be his sister not dying.
No, I think
I think
his sister died anyway. I think him not crashing on Earth is what happened.
Right. That's actually right. That's the way it's supposed to go. That his crashing on Earth didn't happen. So at that point, that's where he hits the ground running for the next. I don't know, let's say however long Hal Jordan's actual career is, 7 years of his life, that's Abensur's been living it.
He's only 23, what are you talking about? Gray hair was from an infection from a space bug. Idiot. Shit, Frankie.
So moving on?
Well, again, I'll just say my last bits. And again, to see the rest of how this character is shaping up against, because I'm interested in seeing what we're getting for out of this storyline. Proper, concise version of the man's shoes that Hal Jordan eventually filled. So again, I look forward to seeing the next issue, seeing where this leads. I have to say this story is heavily reliant on the fact that you have to have read Blackest Night, all of Jeff Johns, like issues beforehand. So, with that said, we'll stay tuned for the next issues. Moving on, we'll go into the Green Lantern movie prequel, Tomar Ray.
Is the Kilowog one before that, or?
Huh?
I thought the Kilowog one.
I read the
Kilowog
one first.
The Tomar Ray can be considered first, and then the Kilowog.
I didn't understand the Tomar ending.
Well, I think it's supposed to lead into the movie or the next prologue or something. I don't know.
No, I think they both lead in the movie. Yeah.
No, because you see a moment of what Tomar is doing in the Kilowog storyline. So it's actually Tomar first, then Kilowog. That's how he's going.
Oh no, because I thought that was a vision of her future.
Comixology says Kilowog, then Tomar.
Huh.
Yeah, because I think she's projecting her future a future vision, which is what Tomar does.
But is it a future vision? Because it's technically, it looks like it's happening side by side.
I mean, I don't think it matters what order it's in.
I don't think it might not. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
Because again, at the end of the Kilowog issue, they announce Arbinser's death, and Arbinser's alive in the Tomar Ray issue.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Talks in the beginning. You might be right.
Yeah.
No, he's in the beginning. Isn't that the guy? No, it's not the guy he talks to.
No, Salik mentions it when he's talking, when he's handling calls or whatever.
Yeah.
No, you might be right.
All right. So the Tomar Ray first.
The Tomar Ray. So we're going to the Green Lantern movie prequel, Tomar Ray, where we are given a pretty much introduction into the movie character that is Tomar Ray in this universe. Sort of different than we've come to expect. Visually and also sort of more like at a more conscious, because he's a different character. He's pretty much a different character than he is in the actual canon, DC canon. The story itself isn't bad. It is narrative. It is heavily narrative. It's pretty much just all within the realm of his thoughts and the choices that he has to make up by the end of the issue. Brandon, you say you didn't understand what actually happened at the end of the issue.
No, I think the last two pages, and we get this transmission, and I don't know who that's supposed to be.
Maybe that's relating to the, I don't know, maybe that's relating
to... Wait, say it again? You said you didn't understand where the transmissions were coming from?
Yeah, who is this?
No, the transmissions were them sending out rescue orders.
For what?
Yeah, maybe that relates to Parallax or something?
No, for them to be rescued. That's what the The last panel was for. They were sending out a rescue beacon. They were asking for help.
I think because the thing is supposed to be that he takes the murderer away instead of rescuing the three of them, and he says, "I'll come back for them." And I think maybe the movie will have some information about what's going on with those three people.
Yeah, technically, the way you can see it is that Tomar left the three people stranded on a planet that is relatively dangerous. So it's more like... more like going to house the paralyzed entity. More like that's what's going to happen. And he takes murder instead of saving the civilians.
Well, what do we think about this?
It's a giant moral choice that he has to make within the story. But Kuan, what do you think of this? You recently finished reading it.
I liked. I guess I kind of liked the. The whole fact that his color kind of changed because of his, and like they didn't make it like it's a lantern thing or anything. It's like his species does that for some reason, which was interesting.
I think that justifies a coloring mistake on a toy.
Yeah, right. That's what it seems.
That's what I thought at first too. I was bringing this up earlier.
No, it's like you can think that, or maybe it's because maybe that's just what happens. That's just what they wanted to do, and they said, "Okay, well, color the toy like that."
It'll happen in the movie. We won't know until we see the movie.
But I think it's probably going to end up happening in the movie, and that's why they have it in this prequel comic. Otherwise, it would just be justifying the toy coloring mistake, and then it would be stupid. And I will say that next time. I will say that after I watch the movie. Other than that, it was an interesting, like, he had this moral dilemma, but what I don't know is, like, why didn't he just, like, you know, like, yes, he did that, like, he's like, okay, I'm just gonna come back later. Like, why didn't you tell those guys, hey, guys, I'm gonna come back later, I'll be back for you, just don't...
Apparently, he didn't have the time.
Stay put for a little bit, I'll be right back, I've gotta drop this guy off to prison.
Maybe because it doesn't always, I don't know. And what is happening... Oh, or it's because of the fear powers. Right. I think that's what it is, because there's something on that asteroid that's – I think we're going to get a sense of the lost sector being – Parallax is in there, and that's why they're not allowed in there. And that's the whole thing with this, and that's why the guy gets kind of empowered. And anyway, what I actually thought of the issue, I mean, it was kind of not as – you know what? I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I actually really like movie comic book tie-ins. Like, I'm actually a big fan of them, and there's movies that I would not go see, and if I found out at the comic book tie-in, I sometimes read the comic book tie-in anyway. I don't know why I like it so much. I just do, and they're usually so bad, but I own quite a few on my shelf, movie tie-in comics that are like Prince of Persia and all kinds of nonsense that I have no interest in whatsoever. So I was pretty excited about these. It wasn't really great, I guess. I mean, I kind of like – it's basically what you expect. It's just like a fight and a little bit of narration with limited characterization. And who knows if this stuff's even going to stick. You know, I don't like some of the things I'm reading. I mean, this is not – it's more – kind of the more wishy-washy, new-agey stuff about Green Lantern recently that I don't like is kind of like face front here. I do think some of the art is pretty fantastic. Some of it's really generic and not so great. But
Richards.
And especially towards the end, when they get into the fight, there's a lot of really well-shaded pictures of Tomar. And the actual fight itself seems really dramatic and depressing, I guess, gloomy as they're going at it. It's pretty good. And the three astronauts that are stranded are sad-looking and stuff. So good art. Kind of a nonsense story, I guess. I mean, there's not really much going on here. It's sort of moody, but it's not really detailed enough. You get a couple of interesting facts about Tomar Ray, but it kind of goes out of its way to waste your time. So I can't defend it too much.
Understandable.
And it was also written by one of the writers of the movie too, so that's kind of
both of them. Was it Michael Green and Guggenheim?
All right, Brandon, what do you think?
But guys, you know, Tomar is just envious because he doesn't have lips. What?
Okay, what Brandon, what do you think of the actual story outside of just the ending that confused you?
I thought it, just didn't work. This is supposed to be a prequel comic. I don't know who the audience for this is for.
Yeah.
that's a good point, actually.
If this is for people coming out of the movie, then I guess that would make more sense. But I don't see them saying, oh my God, a Tomar Ray comic, you know? And at the same time, people like us who are all in the Green Lantern, this can't interest us at all because it's just not that great a story. Sure, there's a couple of panels where Tomar looks really nice when it's all up in his face, but that's not going to save any shitty comic. It's just poor. And it's not that it's excruciating bad. It's just a not interesting comic. And
yeah, it's just not interesting.
It's just
nothing.
Blah. It's highly forgettable. I did like the like Eric said earlier that Cliff Richards does this gloomy art. You get the two panels where he's just laying there motionless on the ground, having been and about to get crushed, and then bam, his eyes open and he saves his own life. I thought it was nice, art-wise, but other than that, it's highly forgettable.
All right.
I'm just saying, again, if you don't mind comics coming out maybe a month or two later than normal, you should definitely read everything via Comixology, because I like the experience of this.
Colton, give me a positive note.
Yeah. Comixology is pretty awesome.
Give me a positive note, Colton.
Hope. Yes, sir. Well,
honestly, the whole issue, the art, like no one can disagree that it was pretty enjoyable. It fit the setting. I mean, we get to see the movie style, which is nice. The story itself, I'm not entirely sure what to think of it because it's something I feel like it's going to be a lot more enjoyable of a story to look back into after you get to the movie, because then you'll see this thing or this thing happened in the movie and be like, oh, that's what they were referring to. All right. It's the kind of thing where it's more referential. It says prequel, but it's more like reading material meant to be seen after you've seen the movie. So I'm thinking either that or it has no connection with the movie at all. But it wasn't bad. I mean, I like the fact that we have some interaction with characters, like getting to see Abin Sur interact with Tomar Rae. That was nice. I was really excited for the to see the alien because a little space battle's nice in a Green Lantern series. At least, you know, one that doesn't take place entirely on Earth. And, I enjoyed that. I mean, I'm not sure what to think about it yet, because like I said, I'm not entirely sure where this is going. I think that they're supposed to say, like, I agree that it's probably Parallax out in the Lost Sector, but I don't want to jump the gun quite yet. But, I kind of enjoyed it. Are we going to discuss the Subway comic with Green Lantern in it?
Did you read that? I didn't get a hold of that.
I would have. I
got a cut.
If you told me it was coming, I would have gotten it.
Didn't get it. I'm sorry.
It's actually in the comic.
What?
There's a whole little Justice League thing sponsored by Subway inside.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, no. Yeah, I got it at Comixology. There's nothing inside of my comic.
All right, just thought I'd ask. But yeah, it was interesting, and I'll stave off some of my judgment on the issue until I see the movie.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to the next prequel comic, Kilowog, where we see our movie version of our drill instructor going pretty much above and beyond to be more and more of an asshole, as Eric is saying.
Just a dick.
And Kilowog. We also get to see our first glimpses of Iolande and Izumult Cole.
Our favorite.
Gout? What's his name again?
Galliazid.
Galliazid!
Yolande, until you said that, I must have just zipped right over when Asamat said that. That is ridiculous that that's Yolande. Are you kidding?
Yes, that is Yolande. It's Princess Iolande.
That is
or
really
Princess cute. I, as we usually call her.
He specifically says Yolande in the comic.
That was a huge problem with this issue, that everybody had to introduce each other like that. Like, hey, Jahu. Hey, Asamat. Hey, it's just...
Yeah. No.
Awful.
As much as I like Guardians of Gahu, my problem with this issue is that these are like, as Wes is saying, this is 80% of the majority of the Lanterns featured in the movie. And if we're following the story continuity, they're all rookies by the time the movie starts. Why do they all not? I don't know. Like, are they going to be all rookie? Like, when the movie starts, is Hal going to be like, you guys are all rookie too? It's like, are they going to be like, meh, an Earthling? You know, it's like,
well, that's
yeah.
Apparently, that's how it always happened in this new Hal Jordan receiving boot camp training. It's an Earthling. It doesn't even know how to write or spell.
Yeah, can I just say that saying Hal Jordan is the only Earthling that ever got a ring is racist? Because everyone's forgetting about the Dragon Lord. So, I think Kilowog...
Different continuity. Design, never happened.
I think the Kilowog design for the movie is really ugly, and yep. I think this nothing exemplifies that except this more than this issue, and I think that's part of the idea, but it's unattractively ugly, I think, and that kind of bugs me about it.
I think what was worse about it was that the coloring here, like that second skin shit, doesn't work in comics.
That's very true. That's actually very true.
It just looks like bad lining and bad coloring.
Yeah. It just looks like overdrawn and stuff. Yep. Yeah, it's not.
Yolanda looked worse than the freaking pictures we see
all
online.
All these redesigns looked horrible. Awful.
I kind of like Isamot's redesign, but that's about it. He looked like the guy busted his ass on the Isamot redesign, but
spent this entire comic trying to imagine Michael Clark Duncan's voice coming out of Kilowog, and it was just couldn't do it.
All I could think of was Henry Rollins.
I read this before I watched the movie, so
I could just think of anybody's voice modulated to sound like Henry Rollins' voice.
Excuses for him.
Fortunately,
it's just bad.
Fortunately, I read this before I watched the movie, so I couldn't think of Henry Rollins. But I also couldn't imagine Michael Clark Duncan. I kept going back to Frankie.
Frankie. Sure, nice. What sounds like Frankie? That's what it sounds like. Maybe a little deeper. That's it.
Nice. There's a really funny explanation as to the lanterns on the chest pieces of the
planet and then the far.
Yeah. Take off the top part, take off the bottom part of the lantern, and you got a circle. And that circle represents your planet. And not just your planet, your neighbor's planet. So you're not just protecting yourself, you're protecting your neighbor.
I thought that was a nice touch.
Hey guys, teamwork.
It was teamwork building.
It was a great team building exercise.
Yeah, there's nothing in this issue that Kilowog teaches anybody. He just is like, hey, fight these danger room constructs. Okay, stop fighting them. You know, I want to actually point out too, really early in the beginning of the issue, the double splash page that introduces, you know, to build a better lantern, and then is followed by another splash page. Besides even that. The credits say Peter J. Tomasi, which is cool. Then story and words. I know he always says that, but just this moment, it's condescending and arrogant. I don't like it. Just come on. Peter Tomasi is not going to stop hearing shit from me about that story and words. Get the fuck over yourself.
Like, it's not new.
Right? And I know. It just hit me.
Like, I mentioned it like 3 months ago. Like, oh yeah, that's right. He does that.
Now it's bothering me. And Gallia Zed, I don't like that he's not a ball. But
he looks hideous. Before he was cute and adorable and hilarious, and now he's just ugly.
For some reason, someone didn't finish doing his left hand.
Yeah, that definitely. And he didn't bother to draw the band on the ring. Apparently, he just sticks it on with tape. Yeah, I think whatever. It's obviously another Rush issue. There's more going on in this issue in terms of all the characters doing stuff. This issue was over before I realized it, like. When it got to the end, I was like, what? Like, is that the end of the issue? Are you serious? You know, because obviously I'm reading on Comixology, so it's not reading the same way. But it is stunned. I mean, and Kilowog's barely in it. You know, it's basically just like.
Yeah, that was a problem.
Yeah, right? Like, it is not a.
I mean, he was a very background for his own story.
And he doesn't actually teach anybody anything. I want a fucking story where Kilowog teaches me. He doesn't.
He did.
There's actually a weird point when the Guardians of the Universe actually see that the precog. Lantern, right? In the story, and they ask her.
Fuck up for no
reason. They ask her what's going on, and she says, "Well, basically, there's something coming." And like, you always say that. Stop saying that. But you have to believe me. There's something coming. Well, you always keep telling us that. Yeah, and then they pretty much go like, pretty much what Eric said. Go fuck off. Go fuck yourself. And she leaves. She leaves right afterwards, and the guardians go, "We better fortify our forces."
Yeah. You know, it's proof once again that in every continuity, even in movie continuity, the Guardians are dicks.
They were totally sweet ass dudes until like Geoff Johns got all of them. But whatever.
It's not like they were like completely evil. This girl has obviously cried wolf before, so
maybe a little bit. Like, I mean, she's obviously. I guess she's projecting what's happening to after in that moment.
She says day and night. Can you really handle somebody bitching and complaining day and night? You're supposed to be a precog, but you keep telling me a bad feeling day and night? No, I get tired of that shit too.
You said my latte was going to be cold. You lied.
Well, you're not in charge of an intergalactic police force.
It's a good thing for that, actually.
Well, obviously, they said, fine, bitch, here's your shit.
Hey.
This bitch thing. Did she get dumped or something recently?
Yeah, well, what is up with the...
Jesus Christ.
Quit being such a bitch, man.
You just be gay. You don't have to hate women. You know what I'm saying?
So anyway.
I think this issue's good. You know what's interesting? I guess I didn't realize that Abin Sur was Kilowog's mentor in this.
That was awkward.
I didn't really like that. I mean, it's just too much of that stuff kind of being thrown in. And like, I knew Abin Sur, he was the best. Yeah, he was the best. He was also the best. I also think he was the best. And he was my father.
Well, they always do it at a point to like, you know, to make a character into like an iconic figure. I mean, they've done it for Barry. They've done it for Hal.
Yeah. I think that goes back to what we just read in the last issue, that you have to hype up Abin Sur like that because you don't know anything about him. And there's this, like Barry Allen, everybody thinks, oh, Barry's the greatest. He sacrifices. Well, that's one little note in 40 years of history. And
all those other times he was being tripped over by the puppet master.
Don't you think it diminishes the whole Sinestro Abin Sur thing, though, to have like Kilowog have just as close a relationship with Abin Sur as Sinestro did? Because then it's kind of like Sinestro's whole thing is, I'm bitter against Hal Jordan because he is like, he's like standing in the place of my dead friend, and that's part of my issue with him and stuff. And you know, Kilowog's like, me too.
Yeah, but
me too.
I think that's where this book is flawed, but necessarily a good point in our current books where it's a lot more close personal relationship between Sinestro and Abin, because apparently he was doing his sister and they were mentor and mentee. And you don't get that in Kilowog and our current book. So, you know, something to be thankful for.
Yeah. Kilowog, I guess, if I'm remembering continuity correctly, he didn't actually become a Green Lantern until after the Crisis in Infinite Earths, like so after Barry Allen died. So he's actually been Green Lantern, which is hilarious. I mean, obviously everything's been retconned significantly because he trained Hal Jordan, but in the actual continuity, you know, it's funny how much older and older he gets in the DC universe as the
because
years go on,
he becomes much more of a memorable character that they want him to have a significant place in Green Lantern history. Again, that's exactly what they're doing with Abin Sur.
You know, at least he's got the dicks on his mouth. That's all I really look for when I'm looking for Kilowog. Looking for a couple of dicks on his mouth, and then I'm a happy man.
I
actually thought going into it that Tomar Ray was the better prequel right we're about to start the cast, and now that we've been talking about it, I'm like, you know what, neither one of them are any good, but like at least the Kilowog one introduces all these different elements of the movie. Like at least it's telling me things I didn't actually know about the movie, and I thought I knew everything there was to know.
What did you not know about the movie?
Well,
for
one thing, I didn't know Michelangelo was in this.
I didn't know that there was actually going to be a precog in the movie telling the future, and that's how they're going to express the storyline. I didn't know that Abin Sur and Kilowog were friends. I didn't know that all the other Lanterns were rookies and stuff like that. Just stuff I didn't really know.
The Spider Guild, always with the Spider Guild.
I like when they do that in movie prequel comics, when they introduce like elements of like the history that like you know are never going to show up in the movie, and if they do, they're going to completely ignore the comic.
Well, we're getting that in the animated series, so there's that.
Good old Spider Guild. Well,
I remember, not to be like that guy, but I remember both first two X-Men movies had tie-in comics come out, and both of them like were redonkulously contradicted by preceding and proceeding X-Men movies and stuff. So that's another $45 wasted down the John.
You've spent $45 on
tie-in comics? At least.
Oh, God.
At least $45.
I have to say, in the later parts when Kilowog is finally told that Abin Sur was killed, there's a really nice scene where Tomar Ray is, you're pressed against Kilowog saying, I know he was like a father to you. And that's...
You're about to kiss.
Yeah, that generally sums up the relationship right there for me.
They're going to fuck each other's faces, assholes. That's happening.
I love the camaraderie between Lanterns. Okay, so basically
Here's my problem with the last page, right? That Kilowog's just told that his character, you know, the character he also found out earlier that Paige was his best friend for his whole life died. And then last page, he's flying off like fucking nobody's business. Like, boom, I'm fucking flying. And then Abin Sur is, what is he doing? He's like doing double pump arms. What's that about? Like,
he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
woo.
It's really strange.
Arf. Arf. Yeah.
What? Why is Kilowog barking?
No.
I just realized this is probably the last show we're going to record before the movie comes out.
Yep. I see it is.
The movie is next week.
We should probably do an episode on the game, because I'm going to try to rent the game this week if I don't buy it.
All right. And so let me wrap up. So that's our take on the...
We didn't even do the news. That's right.
Yeah. So that's our take on the Green Lantern reviews of the two prequel issues. and of course, soon enough, we will be talking about the Green Lantern movie itself. Because it's only a stone throw away now. Only a stone throw away now. We all
throw a stone pretty far, Frankie. For a week, you can throw a stone?
I can't say it. I don't know when people are going to be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, it starts on Sunday, so really it's a forced.
It's still a week.
Yeah, it's four days.
Foreshadowing. Foreshadowing.
I like you, and you sound like Kilowog, and you got really big. You got like hands the size of a table, but even you can't throw a stone a week.
Okay.
So rebooting everything, huh?
So coming to September, DC's rebooting their entire franchise. So everything's going back to syndication number one. So every issue is going back to issue number one. Everything's being rolled back. The clock's being rolled back to an earlier point in these characters' lives, or, you know, points of their career. So, for example, Superman is, one, going to be younger, no longer going to be married to Lois Lane, which is a big change in his continuity. Two, Batman's going to go roll. The clock's going to be rolled back on him too. He's going to be partnered with Damian Wayne, his son. So technically, the clock's not rolled back as much. Green Lantern history will probably be the same.
The exact same.
Exactly.
Absolutely nothing has changed.
It'll be Jeff Johns pretty wins. Much the same. Though they'll probably be, it'll be easier for them to ignore a lot of stuff that Jeff Johns has had trouble ignoring in the past.
Right, but technically, most of these characters will be taken back to an earlier point in their existence. All the issues would be labeled issues number one. But one of the giant controversies is that Barbara Gordon, the character known as Oracle for the past 23 odd some years, is being taken out of her wheelchair and put back into the Batgirl costume.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
So this is, again, has taken the internets by storm. Our very own Eric Cahill has the story today with us on this news breaking event.
On the scene now is Eric Cahill from Connecticut. I guess, I don't know. Eric?
I don't understand why DC didn't think I would get so mad at this that I would continue buying their comics. What were they thinking?
Eric,
I understand the idea of changes, and I know it looks like in the lines they are increasing their diversity quotient a little bit. But this is a wholly unnecessary change. I mean, as someone who's a fan of Cassandra Cain as Batgirl, I thought that was totally fine. I don't mind her graduating and moving up because Stephanie, was a perfectly fine Batgirl. And if anything, is a more interesting character because she's got less baggage and less history, and it makes more sense to call her Batgirl because she's not 35 years old, 45 years old, however old Barbara Gordon is.
Well, she's probably going to be 16 now.
And how much more interesting would it be to have a kind of broken down ex, whatever supervillain as Batgirl, learning the ropes with Oracle as her mentor? How much more interesting would that be versus whatever the hell they're going to be doing with Batgirl? It's basically just going to be Oracle with legs kicking people in the face. I mean, and all the justifying bullshit that Gail Simone has put out there. He's a great writer, and I understand she's really sympathetic to my perspective, but all the bullshit she's put out there, essentially admitting this is just for profitability and that she was against it from the start, that she's just neutrally excited to write stories with this character, and obviously giving it to her is their only way of all branching it to the audiences and stuff. And my only consolation is that no one will buy this title, and it will disappear as quick as it can, considering it's a bat title, and even horrible garbage like Gotham City Sirens or anything Paul Dini has written the past 5 years has gone on for so long. So I will have to deal with it for at least a few years, but after that, that's about it. I don't know. I always said that if they took her out of the wheelchair, I would stop reading DC Comics, but I'm actually pretty excited about the reboot, or at least I was when they first announced it. The problem is they've not only are they just basically putting all the same creative people that have sucked back onto all the titles again, all the new people they're getting are just writers and shit of the X-Men from the 90s, and all the new costume designs are just atrocious, and it just looks like a lot of the creative decisions they've been making are pretty bad, and I was pretty excited for a Blue Beetle title, and this is obviously what Tony Bedard was talking about when he was saying he was so excited about like some new shit happening. But I mean, does anybody really want to read Tony Bedard on Blue Beetle? I mean, like,
I do.
I mean, I would love to read a Blue Beetle title, Tony Bedard on a Blue Beetle title.
Look, you guys, I guess your exposure to Tony Bedard is more so. Well, I guess you guys are – Eric, were you reading Rebels?
I mean, both
I wasn't
Colton,
reading Rebels. Colton and Colton. Colton
me
gets –
Colton are the only two guys who have read R-E-B-E-L-S.
I've read every issue.
Don't forget Andrew. He did it for a while, too.
Right.
And
Colton gets a paycheck from Tony Bedard, so clearly he's excited. But
– Well, I've read every issue of Rebels.
Tony Bedard's putting me through college to read his books.
It's the best work that guy could do, but he was basically just aping off Mark Waid and Keith Giffen and stuff, and that's fine. That's a nice combination of writers, but it's not doesn't make you a good writer, to write like other people. And I think I just don't see what it is about Tony Bedard's writing style that's going to make Blue Beetle anything other than kind of a generic title. I mean, what was strong about Rebels is that it had so many characters and so many plots working, and Blue Beetle can't really have that. I would have preferred kind of a new Youngblood writer on there, I'm kind of excited. No, not Youngblood like the team. Like Youngblood isn't.
No. Rob Liefeld's on Hawk and Dove.
Dear God, no.
Because they're doing things like putting Rob Liefeld on titles, and you look at some of these solicitations and somebody's joking.
Who thought that was a good idea?
I'm surprised he still gets a job.
Are we looking at this? Are we looking at this picture of Superboy with his Jersey Shore shirtless thing?
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Tattoo?
I think when we get a solicitation that says the issue is being drawn by Rob Granito, we're finally going to realize that this is
all a huge joke,
and it's not actually happening.
Deathstroke's getting his own title again, which means another decade before somebody kills Deathstroke. Finally, I mean, I don't know. Does anybody? Maybe we could just go through the titles and see what we think about.
I kind of. I kind of had this strange feeling of this isn't actually happening. This is all fictional.
I'm excited for the reboot. I just – the problem is the same creative people that have been doing a really poor job of ushering in the DC universe. And the fact that if you actually – Comics Alliance did an article that was like the DC – history of DC reboots, and it's basically just talking about all the times DC's altered their continuity. And it's appalling how they talk about at least four or five different company-wide storylines in the past 6 years alone that have been specifically about retroactively fixing continuity. And you're talking about these same exact people who have been responsible for every single one of those storylines.
That's basically why you've got to
be in charge of the country. And apparently that's the story. The story is that it wasn't necessarily a company mandate. This is something that Dan DiDio has been trying to get done for a while to restart everything. And all the different stuff they're doing might be partially production mandated by Warner Bros. Because they have more of a hand in it and stuff. But this is every decision creatively being made about what's being created, who's on them, is all Geoff Johns and Jim Lee and Dan DiDio and stuff. So, I mean, you almost got – I mean, some of these things, it's ridiculous. You got guys who are doing a great job writing one title being put in a completely new title. You know, you got Judd Winnick, who everybody is kind of like – you know, people don't really know if they like Judd Winnick or not, but everybody kind of liked his Red Hood stuff. And there's a Red Hood title coming out that he's not writing. You know, I mean, you got Gail Simone, whose Secret Six was one of DC's only critically acclaimed titles, and it's gone. And it's being replaced by some nonsense with Harley Quinn, and she's being put on a Batgirl book. You know what I mean? It's just – it boggles the mind, some of the decisions they made, you know?
I concur.
At the same time, they do have –
they still have
themes like Geoff Johns writing Green Lantern.
Right, they still have Spike TV Scream Award winner Geoff Johns on his Spike TV Scream Award winning book.
And Grant Morrison has confirmed that he would continue a Batman Inc. in 2012.
Yeah, Snyder is still writing a Batman title. Tony Daniel is still writing a Batman title. Yeah,
but I think those are just contractual obligations that they have to keep their contracts because they're
basically we got JLA by Geoff Johns and Jim Lee, right? Which makes perfect sense. I think Jim Lee's a terrible artist, and I think Geoff Johns is a mediocre writer, and they're doing JLA. But it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's exactly what everybody would really want from it. You got Action Comics, possibly by Grant Morrison, which is good news. Grant Morrison writing Superman is perfectly fine. Not wonderful, because I'm of the opinion that the guy's kind of gone off the rails the last few years. But at least – and what I don't know what he's going to write about in a rebooted continuity, because the last like literally 10 years of his career, everything he's written is all, except for original stuff, has been 100% reliant on knowledge of other continuities. So it'd be exciting to see what it looks like when he's trying to write his own continuity. You got Superboy by Scott Lobdell. I mean, Lobdell, come on. Lobdell, not that he's a bad writer, but he's completely mediocre. I mean, you're talking about the guy who possibly created wonderful characters like Strong Guy and the Executioner existing and writing comics nowadays. And
well, here's the thing. Scott's got a reputation for being – hit and miss, but the guy made his living off of writing teen characters like Generation X.
It's fine. Yeah, it's true. That's true.
So putting him on a Teen Titans title, and they keep saying we're trying to put the teen back in Teen Titans.
Oh, that's fine.
So why wouldn't you put a guy who's that's like who did they just try to put on Teen Titans? Sean McKeever. That guy is known for writing teens his entire career. It didn't work out that way, so they're trying it with somebody else who's known for writing.
Scott Lobdell wrote really dated at the time teen comics 20 years ago, though. I think they're better off grabbing somebody like Greg Wiseman, who's actually working on the show Young Justice, which they're clearly getting their Teen Titans inspiration.
Yes, I would love Greg Wiseman to be writing for DC.
I mean, you know, and I just – I mean, it's one of those things. I kind of like the Superboy idea. What they're implying is that it's going to be more like the Young Justice, where he's just going to be Superboy and he's not really as much of a personality. I mean, I can't imagine
a dick that nobody likes. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love that guy. I can't imagine anybody likes – nobody here likes the barcode Superman tattoo on the arm, right? I mean, nobody actually likes that.
That's,
you know, like,
that's a terrible idea.
It's really guys. I think it's the best thing ever. It's definitely
– if you look at the design – if you look at some of these designs, you can tell it's done by people who are trying to do what was hip in the early 90s and are just embarrassingly pathetically just out of touch. I mean, did you look at this Deathstroke redesign where he's got spider's arms for no reason and nonsense like that? And you look at the extra – I mean – there's nothing – I've never seen a single redesign worse than the new Superman's costume.
I'm excited to get Hawk and Dove.
It's baffled. Hawk and Dove, yeah. All right, Rob Layfield.
It's
going to
be exciting.
Well, how about y'all focus on the positive?
Scott Snyder still on Batman. That's good. Greg Capullo on Batman. That's cool. Detective Comics, Tony Daniel, not amazing.
Captain Atom gets a book. Mr. Terrific gets a book.
Mr. Terrific gets a book. Yeah, Judd Winnick is writing more titles now than he was before. Batwoman still exists.
Batwoman's still around.
We're finally getting Batwoman number one.
Batwing. Batwing has been in three panels.
Which is the worst title. Which is the worst superhero name of all time.
No, Black Bat, really?
Black Bat is worse. All right, I apologize. Both characters created by the only creative okay, besides whatever. That the only
Lemire on Animal Man?
I'm not really into that. I don't really I'm wary of anything to do with Animal Man because I specifically am a vegetarian and like really agree with all the Grant Morrison stuff. So anytime he gets introduced, I'm kind of like whatever. Like Brian Azzarello on Wonder Woman, I think that's great because it's going to give a lot of profile to her character, and I like Cliff Chang. I know you don't, but I like Cliff Chang.
I said the same thing about JMS, so I'm very hesitant about Azzarello.
Yeah, but the problem is like again, I like Wonder Woman because she was established as a vegetarian pretty recently, and I know she's not going to be under Azzarello, so. I like Batwing. I like him being written by Jed Winnick, and it seems kind of ridiculous because they're just giving him the progressive titles or this progressive title. But I don't care because at least he'll treat it with respect as opposed to whatever.
Well, you have to assume that a lot of these higher profile creators had a choice in what they're going to do. You're not going to pull Scott Snyder off a Detective Comics, a highly critically acclaimed, whether it's justified or not.
Well, but more or less.
You're not going to pull the heat of Scott Snyder and put him on Batgirl or anything.
Well, I think I think they would. They would do something stupid like that. But I think he's got a contract. I think he's got a contract to keep writing Detective Comics. Like, oh,
well, no,
I guess we got to keep.
The thing is that Batman books have always sold really well. So you're never going
to
see a lot of
it's hard to mess up the Batman line.
Yeah, and I think and you don't see a lot of – you see every decade you see huge line changes. But then you also think about like for literally like 15 years the same five guys are writing all the Batman comics. You know, and it is – because the comics sell so well, it's hard to justify getting rid of people and revamping the line. You know, so even in a big push like this, you're not going to see – the fact that David Finch and Tony Daniel are still – the fact that they're restarting Dark Knight from number one and probably completely jettisoning Tony Daniel's story, you know, just to have – and they're keeping
– Isn't that comic issue like five right now?
Well, I'm talking about – sorry, David Finch. But yeah, exactly. They're not even. It's like
it was issue two. They only got two issues out. Wow. Since November, by the way.
Since November.
Well, it's because David Finch is awful.
And it's one of those things where, and then they're letting him stay on a new title, you know, and it's just another title that's not going to come out, but it'll sell when it comes out, so what do they care? Apparently deadlines are a big deal now, but come on, what are we saying here? I'm glad Nightwing's getting his own title, and you know what's amazing? I love Eddie Barrows, and I'm really excited about him drawing Nightwing. I don't know anything about Kyle Higgins. I haven't read the new one issue.
That one issue everybody loves so much. Yeah,
I haven't read it yet.
Any hope for Aquaman?
Aquaman
no, it's going to be the same thing as we've seen before. I'm not really excited about it. I don't know why you would be excited about it. It's kind of like, you know, it's like, I mean, I like Aquaman. And it's nice that he's getting a profile, but it's going to kind of be the also-ran amongst all this shit, you know?
I'm really excited too for Nightwing because, like, his thing is, you know, like we had Dick as Batman, and it was cool, and they did what they could do, but it's always just going to be, oh, it's Dick as Batman. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same thing for me as, like, Green Lanterns. You can have 16 Green Lanterns, that's fine, because it's kind of established as a police force. And I kind of like the whole Batman Incorporated thing being turned into a police force and stuff and completely changing the idea of the character. That's a really cool idea, but I don't really mind. I like Dick as Nightwing. You know, the only reason I didn't want it is because it would have seemed like a demotion, but now that he's just straight up Nightwing, they're like, oh, he was Batman, now he's Nightwing. I'm like, okay, I can deal with it. Unnecessary redesign, I don't like, but he's the best costume ever. But
yeah, so the red and black is like something that's weird.
I'm hoping it goes back to something more similar
it's
to
just
the old
unnecessary.
One now,
you had
all weird. Like, why is it red?
It's Frankie. Well, Frankie and I guess had both realized that it's like from Batman and Robin, because Chris O'Connell played Robin in that as Dick Grayson, and he had Nightwing costume, but essentially just blue and red. But I think it's because a lot of the more recent Batman characters have had because of Batman Beyond and then Batwoman, now he's got red, and it's kind of like, and Robin, Tim Drake is, I guess he's probably still going to be Red Robin, and he's
red Robin.
So essentially it's kind of like a Robin thing. Who knows?
Speaking of Batman Beyond, is that going to be affected?
Yeah, they said they're going to restart for number one, but the storyline's going to be exactly the same. They said nothing's going to change, it's just going to be number one. And there's going to be a Justice League Unlimited Beyond too, is the scuttlebutt. There's going to be a Justice League comic that also takes place in the
Apparently,
Beyond.
Apparently, there's going to be an entire second wave that's going to start probably December or January. Probably about another 20 new titles.
And here's the thing: like a lot of characters and comic books are going to get lost in the launch. I think
they already are. There already are thousands of big name characters that just
kind of. Yep. And it's fine, and I think I get the idea of this, and it's like they're relaunching a new company, but it is going to hurt a lot of the character. I mean, a lot of these titles are going to be gone soon. We all know that,
But I mean, it's a little ridiculous to kind of do certain
these creators got paired together, like.
Oh yeah.
Paul Cornell is one of your biggest hires, and you stick him on a Wildstorm book.
He's writing the Magic Justice League. Like, anybody wants that shit?
Oh yeah, the Supernatural Justice.
League Dark.
Well, Pete DeMonsi and Patrick Gleason are still in Batman and Robin. And I like their 3-issue run, but they've had a lot of trouble on it. So I like I like the two of them, so I'm okay with them being on Batman and Robin. I'm not in love with Bruce and Damian. You kind of got to see it, but I think that's the only thing I'm going to miss, I guess, the other people besides Grant Morrison writing Dick and Damian. So, but, you know, it's fine. I guess I have to see what they're doing with it first. So, and there's going to be like an anthology book, I guess, that Paul Jenkins is writing. Paul Jenkins, one of the worst.
DC Comics print.
Brave and the Bold without the team up.
Paul Jenkins is a complete monstrosity when it comes to writing comics. I mean,
that's only for the Deadman art. It's not him.
Hopefully he drowns in a tub before he finishes or something. So.
Honestly, we seem a lot more positive than I thought we would be.
Well, like I said, I like the idea in general. I think we're at the top of the list now. There's still another 40 that we haven't discussed.
This is awful, awful.
I'm going to skip the Green Lantern stuff for now. Swamp Thing, Scott Snyder, Yannick Paquette. I know you love Yannick and you love Scott Snyder. And if only you liked Swamp Thing, Brandon.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. I said, damn, if only I liked Swamp Thing, I would be all over that.
There's some Legion books that I know Frankie's probably excited about because it's got old school Legion writers. I don't really care. Well,
Legion.
Yeah. Fabian Nicieza and Peterson.
Other Legion, Colton.
I like both Legions.
I'm totally weighing my options and seeing how this is going to turn out.
Yeah, and then the Birds of Prey book coming out, not written by Gail Simone, so who cares, kind of a thing.
Who's it being written by?
Swierczynski. He's like a crime writer, unless I'm mistaken.
How do you have Birds of Prey not written by Gail Simone? I don't.
It's really strange. And
I don't understand this concept.
Secret Six, too, and they revamped Secret Six and made it Suicide Squad again, which is a better title for it, and they should have just kept it on it, and then they probably would have had a really good hit
on their
hands.
Except it's Suicide Squad, not Secret Six, though.
Yeah, which essentially it's just the same title.
But comic fans would know it's the same thing, so it doesn't make a difference.
It's essentially the same thing, and you could have revamped it.
Well, how about we talk about not necessarily the books in general, but the idea behind it is to capture the what people call the mythical new reader digital initiative behind it.
Well, this is probably the biggest – this is the biggest news to hit the history of comics in our lifetimes, I think because –
Since Crisis.
Well, I mean, you know, because I think some of you guys weren't alive for that. But,
Crisis was not during our lifetimes, Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born 3 years after Crisis.
Maybe I was – no, I was. I think I was born the year or two after it. But,
Crisis was 85, wasn't it? So
I was born when Batgirl was paralyzed.
86, so I was two. I was 2 years old when that started. But so it's the biggest – and it's very possibly this is either going to completely destroy DC, but more likely it's going to change the way people buy comics, and retailers are just going to kind of dissolve. And retailers know it, and DC's – saying all this ridiculously oddly hollow things to retailers. It's almost like they're saying, oh yeah, we're gonna help you.
My retailer's on Twitter, and they were pissed.
Yeah, well, what are they gonna do, you guys? I'm sorry, but print is dead. Print's been dead. It's nobody's fault.
Well, actually, my retailer is on Twitter as well, and he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He's not worried at all.
I'm a friend with my retailer, so it's kind of sad.
Here's the problem with piracy. As we all know, piracy is big in comics and
huge.
I'm sorry about that, DC. It sucks, but your comics are expensive.
I don't think you're so sorry anymore, Eric. Like, you used to buy them. Like, you just don't.
It's a weird thing that they're saying that they're most of these issues are going to be $3.99.
Really? I thought they were drawing the line, man.
They're gonna drop after like the first, I don't know, like the first.
Oh, yeah, that's what's great about it.
The $3.99 was with Justice League, and it came with a digital copy of the issue.
Right, and it'll drop to $2.99 after the first 14 days or something like that.
Even better than that, they said after the first month of releases, all the digital comics are gonna, instead of being $2.99, are all gonna be $1.99, which means you can get the digitals for $2,
which is still a dollar more than it should be.
It is, but it's the only way that business is gonna thrive, because what you're gonna get is eventually. Hopefully, you're going to get complete dissolving of the floppy copies,
and then you're just going to get digital comics. And I'm not the big fan of just having digital comics. I prefer if they would put them digitally and then just release them in the hardback books as the graphic novels is what people like to call them, the trades.
Trades aren't going anywhere.
Because I think those should exist, and I think the digital actual trades might vanish because, you know, this is the first.
Well, until bookstores and libraries completely go out of.
They're almost gone. I mean, there's only one big bookstore chain left that isn't gone, and even they're getting hurt. And Amazon said this year is the first year they recorded more digital books sold than print books, and that's it. Like, it's never going to change. It's never going. Print books are never going to come back unless we get somehow destroyed into the Stone Ages, and that's literally impossible.
I can't see print books going out completely. No, there's always going to be some hanging around.
A little, but it's not going to be anything you're going to recognize.
It's like the Bible is always going to be in hard print.
Yeah, I mean, it's like saying that we're never going to, you know, we're never going to have. There's never not going to be VHSs. It's like, well, no. Now we have digital discs. It's like, there's never not going to be DVDs. Well, no. And in like 10 years, we're not going to have any hard copies of anything. You know, they're moving.
Oh, that makes me so sad. I really hate reading stuff on digital copy.
I agree, but they develop screens now that.
Yeah, like I have a Kindle, and I love reading on my Kindle. Like reading, I don't read so often, but when I do, I'm reading on my Kindle. It's a great experience because it's not like I'm not reading a screen. It's like it's like a paper. Like and.
Go on, you're not helping your cause.
Well, do we mind?
How am I helping my cause?
Talk about some of these titles again, real quick, unless you guys want to go on about the digital thing some more. Or
Eric, continue.
Is there something on your mind?
No, I want to go through them because I want to see how everybody feels about different ones. Because
can I have one last copy of the digital thing? My only comment on the digital aspect of it is I kind of like it because now I mean I have no problem going and paying for a book, but now I don't have to worry about where the fuck to put the damn things afterwards. So yeah. I think DC will probably be the only books I buy in digital because I mean I'm looking at this stack of comics and. I'm not a collector of them, so you know of these
collection is a big thing too because mind you, this is only DC Comics doing this digital revolution. If Marvel comes through and says, "Hey, our file is different," now you don't have a place to store your comics together. Now you have to have two separate libraries for digital comics, and that's out of the norm. And who's to say Comixology is going to be here in 5 years?
Yeah, Comixology is actually
Then your library is gone. Then you're fucked out of. Thousands of dollars.
Comixology is it's not sustainable the way they can't because DC's saying day and date digital, so they must have some other way of introducing besides Comixology. But
well, Comixology can release day and date
until we get an iTunes for comics.
Well, who says? I mean, that's the thing.
That's
the thing. Who says iTunes is going to be here in 5 years? Like that's the thing. Like we don't know what's going to. For all we know, Comixology will be around forever until the end of time.
I agree. Until you can download them, because the problem with Comixology, you have to be in comics. I mean, you can read it. I mean, to come on, inform me that you can read them when you're not online, but you have to have Comixology too. And Brandon's right. If you lose your files, you lose your files. I mean, that's nothing you can do about that. But. I mean, that's kind of the same way with any kind of digital archiving at this point. So,
let's run down.
Blanket. What else we got? We got Teen Titans we discussed. I think everybody's a little – obviously no Wally. I think some of us are really hurt by that. No Wally insight at all.
Jay Garrick, by the way.
Or Jay Garrick, which whatever for me, but that's fine. But no Jay Garrick.
I'm upset about that.
I found myself very upset. And the reactions I got on Twitter, you can find me at Speecher site, but it's really, really fucking up people right now.
Yeah. Well, I think the team looks like it's going to be Bart and Tim and then Cassie and the Young Justice team again, and then with some new members that look completely horrible and nobody's going to want them around anymore. But and Superboy, I used to like Superboy's. Old costume, just a t-shirt. Now they've completely fucked it. Like it's almost like they're like, well, how can we take that even further from what anybody would reasonably want to? So he's wearing chauffeur's gloves and a sleeveless tee like an asshole. Robin,
it's a vest.
Well, to be fair, he is an asshole. The asshole
cover art.
Yeah, to be fair, the character apparently is now that.
It's Jersey, yeah. What's it called though? Tim Drake is apparently the only Tim Drake book now is going to be the Teen Titans book. So, I mean, that's probably not something that would.
Which is disappointing.
Probably not making Brendan too happy, but I don't really care.
Doesn't make me happy.
The solicit is like Tim Drake gets out from behind his keyboard and starts fighting crime. So the implication is that like they're kind of rebooting Tim Drake a little bit. But
at the same time, the new Batman writer Scott Snyder mentioned in an interview that Red Robin, Robin, Nightwing, they all show up in the very first issue of Batman. So it's like,
I think where is the continuity? And I think essentially Tim Drake's costume is exactly the same with more switches and buckles, and he just doesn't wear a hoodie mask, which is fine. I think that's
awful. He's got feathers coming out of his hand. I mean, out of his arms. He's got bullet pouches on his neck.
That makes no sense.
Switches and buckles are a little ridiculous. I agree with that 100%.
And knee padding, not paddings. He got paddings of patches just randomly placed on his legs. That costume is awful.
Extraneous. That's the basic redesign 101 seems to be extraneous nonsense on the outfits. And Bart's new costume isn't wonderful. He's got a faux hawk, it looks like. So basically the Jersey Shore superheroes. People ripped on Cassie. I don't know why. She's just wearing
because it's so plain and it's so red.
I think you got to see it. You got to see more of the shoulders and stuff because basically like she's got one awesome ass shoulder pad and like an arm brace and she's got wicked sweet bracelets.
Anybody have any clue?
All these designs sound so very 90s.
They're very 90s and they're all really over designed. Just very over. What's over designed 101? Though the way Hawkman looks, to move on to that, looks pretty dope. I don't know why Tony Daniels is writing it. Maybe because everyone's an asshole, but The picture of the show is pretty sweet, and I'm excited about Philip Tan drawing it. I mean, they look like they're completely changing that, which is kind of a blessing.
Can we mention now that we mentioned before how characters are nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. This book, we've known personally that this book was to be written by James Robinson, and we know that James Robinson has turned in scripts for this title. Yeah. And James is not on any books.
He's gone. He looks like he's out of it. Well, you got to think about they brought him in for a big ass deal. It's a big ass deal. We got James Robinson. He's going to write this big ass JLA story. Oh my God, we're going to make it its own miniseries because it could be so great. And then, because DC editorial and creative people behind DC are really just completely out of touch with society, and they put out Cry for Justice, which they all thought was a great idea. And then it's like, wow, this is a really bad idea. Well, we can't just get rid of him. Let's see if he does other stuff really well. No, he's getting kicked on everyone. Get rid of him. And didn't he also write something in Twitter earlier this year about how he was going to jump off a bridge and be a plumber or something like that? Like, yeah. Well, good. My toilet needs cleaning, James Robinson. Give me a call.
This is just sad how his career has fallen from such heights.
He's a good writer. I don't even dislike JLA all that much, but I guess
So it's been a bad year?
Remember when you met him, Colton?
Spectre's dead in
his I think...
He was such a nice, happy, optimistic guy when I met him.
Yeah.
The fact that we don't see James here, I don't want to make too big of a deal of this, but the fact that we don't see James here at all just reminds me of the Rucka situation spinning out of World of New Krypton somewhere in that that editorial management over these writers is just leaving these creators fucked out of their mind.
Well, here's they know that DC had this – it's been scuttlebutt that DC's doing this initiative where writer-artists as one, like a writer-artist
or on titles. Yeah, artist-writer, yeah.
That's how they're keeping a lot of big artists around. They're saying you can do some writing if you have your own stuff going on if you stick with our company. And you can actually – this really – it's obviously very artist-based. I mean, even guys like Jeff Lemire – and Tony Daniel, who's writing a title for the first time without drawing, and to Jeff Lemire, who's now writing a couple of titles, and he's an artist. That's his thing, you know. And so they're very, like, you know, and they're keeping crap writers around, like J.T. Krule, and Dan Jurgens is allowed to write a title, for God's sake, you know.
He kind of solidified himself a long time ago as a writer, though.
No, he's been writing Booster Gold for years and stuff. I'm just saying, like, it's you can obviously tell that, like, Ethan Van Sciver, obviously. Ethan Van Sciver's only role in the new DC seems to be redesigning Firestorm and writing Firestorm. That's about it. But then you got Blue Beetle, obviously. Everybody's excited. Got his own title. Tony Bedard, not that excited. Don't really see where that writer's coming from. Would I have liked to see Judd Winnick on it? Yes. Is that a stereotype? Yes.
Co-writing Static Shock.
Is he co-writing that? That's crazy. I didn't know that. I know Supergirl is coming out, and the scuttlebutt is that Michael Green is writing it. I think he's one of the co-writers of Green Lantern movie too, isn't he? Or am I wrong?
Yes.
I know he's one of the co-creators of Heroes, unfortunately, but he worked on Smallville, which I loved, so I'm not going to complain about that. We talked about Wonder Woman, Brian Azzarello, Cliff Chang. I love that. It's fine.
Sergeant Rock.
Awesome. Sergeant Rock for some reason? Are you kidding me? What is that even about?
What? You don't want a war?
That's just random.
No, why would I want a war book? Why? Ask me how many war books I buy a month. Ask me how many war books you buy a month. I don't want to answer that because the answer is zero.
Not being excited for Sergeant Rock is like saying, I'm not interested in Westerns, so yeah, I'm not going to pick up Jonah Hex. Like, it's similar,
but completely comment. Different because I am interested in Westerns and I'm probably going to read Jonah Hex, but yeah.
I just think, I don't want to harp on the continuity, but that's the main reason why I'm not interested in a lot of these is because I don't know where the past lies. You can't tell me that, oh, the Titans are going to meet each other for the first time and then say, hey, but Red Robin is Red Robin and he'll be teaming up with his father, Bruce Wayne. Like, you can't have one without the other. Those stories are so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and Superman isn't married, but does that mean Doomsday hasn't killed me yet? But then how come Connor's around, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So.
And then you launch titles like OMAC, written by the co-publisher of Keith the company.
Gibbon. No, and Keith Giffen as well. What a nonsense piece of shit that is.
And wait, OMAC?
If Sterling Gates was the writer I thought he was, he would not be writing Hawk and Dove as his sole title.
No. Yeah, I thought he was co-writing one of the other books, too.
Maybe it was one of the non-announced ones.
Well, I know Aquaman, we talked about that. Firestorm, what do you guys think about that? Gail Simone and Ethan Van Sciver switching up.
I don't care.
I like both those people, so, you know, it might
I honestly out. Don't know how to react to that one.
I'm excited about it.
Who's drawing it?
Unbelievably, a guy named Yildiray Sinar.
Yildiray Sinar. Yeah, he's on Legion.
Oh yeah, I know his art.
Oh, is he?
And he did Teen Titans for a little bit. The Ravager stories in there.
So I wouldn't want to say that. I think you'd probably all be surprised if I said I was excited about it, but I guess I am. I mean, Firestorm is complete garbage. Ethan Van Sciver is
using
a bad person.
Water coloring. Which is really good because his sketches are amazing that way. But I think he's using that style too, so it'll be something to look at least.
Mr. Terrific, who now no longer has a T on his face, he now has an M on his face.
What?
Which is hilarious.
That's just stupid. Does he have M-spheres now?
Well, he begins with M. He's Mr. Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, but it's still Terrific.
He's not Terrific Mister.
His name is Michael, by the way.
That doesn't make it. That does not make it less dumb.
Well, that's Brandon has a B on his face, so don't make fun of him.
I do wear a lot of Boston Red Sox hats, so
Sergeant Hatred has an H on his face, not his S.
Yeah, well, his first name isn't Sergeant, bro.
Mr. Terrific's first name isn't
rank,
Mr.
That's a rank, you asshole. You respect the military.
You guys are
okay. Actually, has a B on his face now, but anyway.
So
yeah, moving on a bear.
I like Roger Robinson. We got Flash. So, Francis Manapul, Green Arrow, J.T. Krull is still writing stuff. Captain Atom and Green Arrow. What is that?
Can we stop on the Green Arrow for a little bit? Is this not the same shit they just pulled with Kevin Smith?
I don't understand. It's
not Kevin Smith. Judd Winnick on Green Arrow?
Probably.
They stopped it with him and relaunched it with him?
I think, no. My problem is they just J.T. Krull, they relaunched it with – this is the second time they relaunched the title with him with a completely new setup. Yeah. And what's with Justice League International not being written by Judd Winnick? Does anybody realize the only reason anybody cares about that team is because Judd Winnick wrote
Yeah,
really
I think everybody
movie.
Realized yep. that. And Juergens did an interview where they asked him. They said, when did you get on this? Like, yeah. And he's like, well, this was in plans way before the end of International. I mean,
they asked him to do it,
Generation Lost.
And horrific.
It doesn't answer the question.
Yes. And the horrible new redesign
writing
Booster Gold and stuff.
Yeah, that's a terrible redesign for Booster Gold.
He is writing Booster Gold. Like, it's like.
I do like Judd Winnick on Booster Gold.
To this character?
Freddie Williams.
Why?
Third on Captain Atom. I like him.
That's good. That's a good
Paul Levitt's to stay on Legion of Superheroes. We already talked about OMAC. Now, what about these All-Star tiles like Grifter and Voodoo, for fuck's sake, and Stormwatch?
Stormwatch is coming out. I can literally say, before this, I'm not all too thrilled about Freddie Williams.
I like Freddie Williams.
I think he's fine.
I don't like him as much.
He has some horrible chins, but he's fine.
He's just got a lot of style. I like him. He reminds me of
And it's all digital, so that's even more impressive.
Is that true? I don't know. It's even more impressive, yeah. There's a Western coming out, which Jimmy Palamati and Justin Gray writing Geno Hicks, and I don't know why
the size too. I believe those are all oversized issues.
I don't know why Jimmy Palamati and Justin Gray are are still writing Jonah Hex. I mean, I know that's like a critically acclaimed title. It is bad. They're bad it's writers.
Bad.
It's
not a good title. It is not bad.
It is not a good title. Justice League Dark, the Supernatural Justice League. Again, I don't know if anybody – it's basically the Vertigo League, right? I don't think anybody cares about that.
Vertigo League.
I think a
Demon
lot
Knights.
Care about yeah. it.
Really?
By the way. That's a lot of – Zatanna is in there.
Nobody likes Zatanna. Paul Dini. Paul Dini cares.
Oh, my God. Like, everybody likes Zatanna for some reason. I don't know. I haven't
it's
read
got,
it.
It's got John Constantine.
At least somebody finally cancels Zatanna. That's one of the things to look forward to. Demon Knights, which is kind of interesting. It's like a medieval title with Paul Cornell. I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, sure. with the demon of all people, Etrigan.
Yeah, I don't really care about Etrigan, but I'm excited about the idea.
Hey, yeah, Kirby made a great character with him.
Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, which is awesome. I love Frankenstein, but I don't understand why anybody is writing him like that isn't Grant Morrison. And it's not that I just think that guy's such a great writer. It's kind of like everybody just writes him hanging out, being Frankenstein. It's like it should be absurd and depressing every issue of Frankenstein. But
yo, I'm Frankenstein.
It should be a little girl killing people.
It should be, and a little fat kid getting his head cut off just because he's sad. You know, and I think like a universe eating unicorns and getting shot in the face when it gets distracted.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with this.
Jeff Lemire is not an impressive writer. I've read all these Superboy issues that got nominated for awards. And
Adam was Adam. Horrible.
Adam. Oh, I didn't read those. But I'm not really impressed with him as a writer. I mean, I haven't read any of his actual stuff, XX County or Sweet Tooth or anything. But Superboy is not really anything to write home about. I mean, Superboy's not even – I don't know if I'm going to get into it, but he's not even in it. Resurrection Man by Dan Abnett and Annie Lanning. That's pretty crazy. I like
that's that. I'm actually looking forward to that.
I like the DC diversifying its line. I think this is kind of like a perfect example of that.
Is
like,
that really? That's your definition of diversity?
Because basically they were like, what else can we really put out here that we haven't done in a while? They're like, Resurrection Man, that's a good concept. And why don't we get these DNA? Those guys are good writers and they've worked on it before. Let's, you know, why don't we just do it? Because we haven't done it and it'd be something we don't have in the DC universe. And obviously the way they've been releasing these plans is every day they've been like announcing a team set, you know, like these are the Supernatural books and these are the Batman books and stuff. And it's like, it's exciting because then you're seeing that they're actually kind of going somewhere. Then you have iVampire, which is kind of whatever, you know,
she's a milestone.
Twilight right? Kids.
The Holy Original looks like title, right? Right? Voodoo. And then Voodoo, yeah, who cares about that? Static Shock, I'm excited that it exists finally, but it's obviously being thrown together. Scott McDaniel used to be a great artist. He's not really a great artist anymore. Hawk and Dove, I think
we've said enough
so
on that.
I'm so excited for Hawk and Dove, guys. I want to.
Can
Rob Liefeld
cannot hold back the vomit?
You know, it's gonna sell really well because Rob Liefeld's got such a controversial name, but he's not gonna be able to finish it in time. So
I really wish Andrew was here to talk about this right now.
I can't believe that guy actually likes.
He's the only person I ever heard of who actually likes that art.
Yeah, right.
I can't believe.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
Andrew said he likes Rob Liefeld's art.
If anybody would like to say that,
He just said he doesn't know why Rob gets such a bad rap.
Because his art is horrible.
Yeah, because
every single
I'm the optimist and I hate it.
No. The main reason, and again, I'll repeat this, is why Rob Liefeld gets a bad rap is because of Levi Jeans.
Because he's a bad artist.
What?
Andrew said word for word was Liefeld does good work. And then he said people make fun of that cat pic all the time, but they're geeks that don't know what real bodybuilders look like. And this is dead serious.
No, like I could have sworn he was kidding, and then like I'm like, oh my God, he's serious. What is happening?
But human bodies aren't built that way.
Cannot bend like that.
Kuhan is like, haha, you're joking. You're obviously wrong. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm serious. I'm like, are you fucking out of your mind?
Yeah, right?
And he said it's valid. He says a valid interpretation that weird.
Okay. We've gone off the rails.
We should at least touch a little bit more upon the actual Green Lantern portions.
I guess we should.
We are getting some new books.
Soon enough. Eric, beforehand, what else we got?
Then we got Sergeant Rock, Stormwatch with Martian Manhunter on Stormwatch and reintroducing Apollo and Midnighter with horrible new costume designs. Deathstroke, again, nobody cares about, but it's being written by the same guy as Nightwing, so I have hope.
And drawn by the same guy who's been drawing them for the last 4 years in Teen Titans, Joe Bennett.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, he got a lot better.
And he's drawing the Flashpoint Deathstroke issue. I just don't understand, like, when are you just going to let go?
Like, you have Deathstroke, dude.
Is the guy a mute? Is he like?
Yeah, what's the deal?
Get over it. Like, it's not even that impressive of a character. Yeah. It's like move on.
No, seriously. And I think
I'm just excited because the writer's the same as Nightwing, which means they might tie in, but who knows, who knows. Then we got Suicide Squad, which is written by Adam Glass and Marco Rudy, where they're redoing – it's going to be King Shark, Deadshot, and Harley Quinn are kind of the featured characters, which is kind of like
– that's an odd team.
At least I don't have to look
for Harley Quinn. That's supposed to be, though. It's supposed to be a bunch of random villains.
It should be random, more random, because it's kind of – because Suicide Squad was random, and then they kind of change it up, but they stuck with the same couple of guys for a long time, and that's what it should be. Every arc or so, they should change it up. And then Black – it's like nobody cares.
Is it true that Harley is one of the few female characters actually losing pants in favor of a skirt?
A lot of that's actually – there was a rumor that DC's editorializing that it's characters are – yeah, women are supposed to dress more conservatively now and not so ridiculously. But then the picture they released of Supergirl is she's still wearing – you know, her. You could still see her vag. But all
they said women, and she's very clearly, you know, a girl still. So that maybe that's how they're
– Well, you don't know that yet. She might be a female.
Yeah, she does not have a skirt. She has on spanky panties.
Let me see.
Okay.
No, she's definitely wearing a ridiculously sexy outfit. So I guess DC is a fucking liar. But
or maybe she's one exception.
I haven't seen a design yet, but I heard that it was going to be her outfit from the video game where she's got like the ballet suit.
It's pretty similar. Just
Arkham Asylum.
Pull down. Yeah. And then
according to KDog7P7 on 606studios.com, man, they ruined Harley Quinn. So
get over yourself.
Thank you for that, Kuan.
I'm glad they gave us that.
We have now 4 Green Lantern titles coming out. We have Green Lantern – well, 5, I guess, right? Yeah, we have Green Lantern, Green Lantern Core, Green Lantern, New Guardians. No, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It's just 4. It's Core, Green Lantern, New Guardians, and Red Lanterns, right? So Red Lanterns, since everybody's known about this, nobody really cares, right?
So now we know the artist on Red Lantern.
Yeah, notice that Emerald Warriors has exploded.
Kulan's favorite artist.
So we know that this is going to be beyond terrible because Peter Milligan is hit or miss, and Ed Bennis is like the guy, like he like miss. I can't even think of a funny way to say
like
he has no idea
miss.
How to even shoot at stuff. Yeah, he like doesn't even know what to do with the gun when you hand it to him.
No. Like, oh my god, it's awful. Oh,
he's
god.
So awful. He's like, and he draws like all these other artists. Like he's like a mixture of Robert Liefeld, Mark Silvestri, and Jim Lee, and all the stuff that's bad about them, and he just does it over.
So again. So it's like half the art on the Green Lantern books now is stuff that we hate. You and
dude, I. He draws like – he turns like – he like – Ed Bennis manages to find a way for a woman to show off her asshole and her nipples in the same stance. Like it's ridiculous. Anyway.
That's true. So
Jeff Johns and Doug Mahnke – thank God Doug Mahnke – are still staying on Green Lantern.
No surprise.
Looks like Hal Jordan's going to be on there. Apparently very little change is happening to the universe. We got Green Lantern Core where Peter Tomasi is going to be writing again. That's fine. And
for well, no. Patrick, if you look at – if you look at the description for the Green Lantern book, it's a bit of a change. They don't mention Jeff.
I thought they didn't mention Hal Jordan.
I mean, they don't mention Hal, excuse me.
Well, they say in the beginning, they say he's been charting Hal Jordan and Green Lantern Corps since this, and there's this slight suggestion that we're supposed to get a new
Earth
guy in 2014, and yeah. It's possible to take Hal out of commission for a while, but we know he's in the Justice League. That's him in the picture. So, you know, what are you going to do? Who knows?
So,
you
know,
he might be this... It'd be cool if they gave us a brand new Green Lantern because that would actually make sense with what they're doing. But what are you gonna do? Maybe we'll just get lucky and get another Hal origin because it's awesome. So the core is definitely gonna be John Stewart and Guy Gardner. So I guess we're not losing either one of those guys.
More ice dick.
Oh, ice. Yeah, much more delicious ice dick in the mouth. But it looks like that's gonna be what Tomasi's always wanted to actually write with Emerald Warriors, which is gonna be like the X Force in current.
Don't do that. Don't make excuses for Emerald Warrior saying that's what
that was horribly paced.
No, it just wasn't for good, but it was obvious that the guy was kind of spinning his wheels. But, you know, yeah, it was bad news. Emerald Warriors is a bad title. Then we have the title, I guess, I think we're most – I don't know. I want to say we're most
– cautiously optimistic about?
The Green Lantern New Guardians, which Kyle Rayner will be leading. Yeah, the 5 – New Guardians, I guess it's probably going to be the Power Rangers. There's no indication that they will be the characters we've been seeing. I'm assuming a lot of them will be new characters. We're not going to see Sinestro in a team book with Kyle.
or we will. Because remember, in this universe, there's no, you know, Despotilius might not have even killed. Maybe Sinestro didn't kill Kyle's mom, so
that's right.
Who knows?
Maybe Sinestro killed Hal's mom.
Well, here's the thing. The book is called New Guardians, so I'm assuming that we won't get. What you just said, we won't get Sinestro and Atrocitus. We'll get Brother Worf instead of St. Walker. We'll get
Dexstar instead of Atrocitus.
We'll get the mascot.
We'll probably get Bleez because she was featured, but like if we get anybody. But I think they're called New Guardians, but that's what the team has been called the last like year. So I don't think it's
– you're assuming it's just off of name recognition, not – necessarily a tie to the characters.
I'm not certain they're all
going to be. Maybe this title is
not assuming they're going to be all. I'm assuming they're not going to be the same four. I don't know how many of them are going to be different, but
maybe this is going to actually be a literal title. Maybe they're finally going to step in, kick the Guardians out, and every core member is going to have one representative to be like the Guardian.
Yeah, well, I really think Larfleeze is going to be in,
and that would mean that Kyle Rayner is running the Green Lantern Corps.
Well, this is obviously the implication of the thing is that the cores are all going to have to unite as one group, which again is ridiculous because half of those people they're
murdering social support,
they're mortars,
but again, remember, time has gone backwards. So yeah,
no, but
remember,
can change. So
the church just can't rein them in a little. So you know,
so being even more psychotic, because we all remember that. Atrocitus is the one who murdered like a bunch of people for no reason, and then was in prison for it, and then also murdered Abin Sur. Right? We all remember this. When he got to Earth, he ate like three people for no reason. Right? Like,
so
people seem to said he was sorry.
But like, so I think that right now, half. Fully 50% of the people on Green Lantern related titles are people that I don't want to be on Green Lantern related titles.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, again, it's like Kyle headlining a title is awesome. Unfortunately, he's headlining the title I at least want to read, and he's being written by the guy I at least want to write him, and he's being drawn by someone who doesn't actually know how to draw pictures.
Right, and then we got Red Lanterns, but Red Lanterns is drawn by Ed Bennis, of course, which we just talked about, and it's not
monster.
Something that nobody wants to. I don't want to see Ed Bennis draw
these. Yeah, I think Ed Bennis and Tyler Kirkham, their problem is I don't think they know how to draw for humans to see. It's kind of like a dog whistle. Like there must be some animal that can see.
And then Johns.
Sometimes I really feel like I'm the only person whose optimism hasn't been entirely destroyed by pessimism.
I'm not.
Look, I am not a pessimist, but Ed, I just hate Ed Bennis like burning rage.
I've given up I've given up on hating the Green Lantern titles. I'm kind of just with it at this point. I'm sorry. You can list back to the cast and listen how hard I was trying to be excited about Green Lantern Corps War, and I'm not the one who shit in my mouth. You know, that wasn't my shit I was tasting as I was reading this 15-part crossover where people just stood there picking their assholes and wearing rings.
All right. So basically, I say we're done.
I'm excited about the
dear God, are we?
Okay, wait, quick, can we do one thing? Which is the title you're most excited about? Which is the one you're least excited
Hawk
about?
Hawk and Dove.
That's one?
It's both?
Both and least.
I think I'm most excited for Nightwing, because finally we're going to get a Nightwing
did
book
you
again.
Did you do Gates of Gotham? You're like fully on board the Higgins?
No, I don't care. I just want to read more Nightwing. I will read Nightwing good or bad. Then I guess I'm least excited for Hawk and Dove, I guess.
All right, Colin, what are you most excited and least excited about?
Least has to be a tie between mostly just a tie between Hawk and Dove.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's not that I'm necessarily against the characters. I'm not. It's just I'm uncertain about them, and it's not added to the fact that that is probably the worst artist they could have possibly picked for that title.
Oh, can we talk about how amazing the cover is? In the background, there's a picture of a hawk and a picture of a dove's face. Like, do we see this?
And did you see the lack of any realistic spine on a dove?
We need spines. We need spines when we've got no feet. That's what I'm
they have feet. They should have toes, right?
I just don't know what it is.
They have these little square things in boots.
Yeah.
That I'm not entirely sure what are. But yeah, I'd have to say I'm actually looking forward to some of the new Green Lantern stuff. I'm a Green Lantern fan first and foremost, and I want to see where they go with New Guardians and Red Lanterns. It sounds like Core and regular Green Lantern will be a little bit closer to norm.
So you're excited to see – okay, no, I'm sorry.
I'm excited for all the things you're scared of.
Eric, what do you think? What
I'm progressive.
I'm least excited about Barbara Gordon out of the chair, obviously. I like Sterling Gates as a writer, so I can't completely abandon Hawk and Dove. But morally, ethically, DC is completely bankrupt and just completely evil in my eyes for doing what they did to Barbara Gordon.
Hawk and Dove? They got Rob Liefeld's an artist.
Well, the one I'm most excited about, I guess. I mean, it's actually kind of funny because I'm thinking about it. I mean, I must be optimistic because I can't really decide. I mean, I'm really excited about Nightwing. I am excited about
some random shit. Like, you know, I mean, sort of Resurrection Man, but not exactly. So if I'm going to say anything, it's probably going to be Action Comics number one, because I'm excited to see new Superman stuff that really works, even though I'm kind of afraid where they're taking the character. But yeah, so I'm going to say Action Comics number one. What about you, Frank?
No, wait a second. Karen, because, you know, you're back in there.
Oh, yeah, she's
What are you most excited? Which issue are you most excited about in this new relaunch, and which one are you least excited about?
Well, to be honest, I just started reading Animal Man, the trades.
Animal Man.
So I'm actually kind of curious to see, you know, where that kind of goes. So Animal Man is the one I'm thinking. I mean, aside from all the Green Lantern stuff, which I'm hoping...
You don't need to pan into that. It's going to stay the same.
You're not going to learn anything new. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's what I kind of figure. I figure if everybody's kind of like starting off, maybe... I mean, first of all, I feel really responsible because I kind of figured DC is doing all of this to kind of pander to people like me who've never read DC before. So if this really sucks, I apologize to everyone.
So it's your fault that Barbara Gordon is walking again?
No, don't even get me started.
How dare you get a woman to walk?
I spend a lot of time in feminist circles online, and a lot of geek girls are really, really pissed off about that. So
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, yeah. Yes.
So what's your least?
So what am I least? You know, I honestly don't know. Because a lot of these I've never read before, period. So, I mean, the idea of being able to go and kind of download them and have them as just as digital copies and to give them all a shot is kind of good. You know what? I'm least looking forward to Grifter. I remember reading Grifter back in the day, and I think back in the day was a good place to leave him.
Guys, I just think you should know that I'm really excited for not Gail Simone on Birds of Prey, because that's something you shouldn't be excited for.
Wow.
Ouch, dude.
Wow.
It's not even a
No, I'm not serious.
Fire a penalty for unnecessary roughness.
No, like,
Brandon, I just are not feminist. That's the problem.
Brandon.
No, I'm not serious. Like,
Brandon, what are you most interesting?
Sarcasm.
Most interested in.
Sorry.
It's kind of hard. I don't know. I wanted to say Flash because I like Francis Manapul art. Then I remembered he's never written before, so that's a no. Then I was going to say Batwoman because I like J.H. Williams.
Oh,
art,
yes, Batwoman's be good.
He never written before, so that's a no. and then I was going to say, hey, I like this redesign of Hawkman, but Tony Daniels sucks as a writer, so there's a no there. So I guess I would be most interested in Wonder Woman with Azzarello, who's only written one story that I liked. Granted, it was 100 issues of something I liked. So I guess it's a toss-up between Wonder Woman and Aquaman.
Aquaman.
I'm laughing at you.
I mean, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You say Manipal, you know, you can't be excited for Flash because Manipal's never written before, but you read Flash now and John's writes like he's never written before.
Wretch of his feet, son.
All right, so then again, Demon Knights is something I'm looking forward to, even though I don't like the artist.
Sergeant Rock, right? I thought you were excited for Sergeant Rock.
It's not my favorite.
Man, I would honestly say I'm interested in reading Sergeant Rock, but nah.
And it's not even Sergeant Rock; it's Sergeant Rock's son.
Wait, what? Is Sergeant Rock's son?
Well, if his last name is Rock and he's a
soft, sorry, are you saying his name is Sungent Rock?
Sungent. You know what? They lost me. Actually, the comic I'm least interested in reading right now is Hawk and Dove. Honestly, I'm sorry.
Hawk and Dove.
You really?
Hawked Dove.
Are people really more upset about Hawk and Dove than they are about Barbara Gordon's legs working?
Well, I don't want to jump in because we both have the same answer. I would like to say Batgirl, but you already brought it up. Sorry. I can't.
Or
sorry.
Detective Comics, like Tony Daniel. That is a really severe, troubling.
I'm so used to that story.
Like, he has problems writing.
Yeah, he's doing fine with I guess the only issue I'm interested in reading right now, the most interesting book to read. I don't know. It's a toss-up. The Captain Atom. Captain Firestorm. Wonder Woman.
You're excited about this? What's going on?
Well, here's the thing. We didn't mention this, but Ethan Van Sciver said that he has another book coming where he's drawing. So I don't.
Plastic Man.
So I would assume.
Art?
Yeah, he's doing the art.
So he does art? What?
Maybe it's Action Comics, because there's only four books left, and they're all Superman books. So I don't... So I'm guessing either he's not coming out this
it could be an unannounced title for like the December.
He can draw in between his rants about Obama and watching old movies.
Well, he's been drawing since Rebirth. So like that was his last time drawing anything. So yeah, I would assume that
he drew some really awesome pictures of Kristen Stewart. I'll tell you that.
Written by guests.
Did he really?
Oh yeah, he drew some fucking fantastic. Sorry.
I unfriended him on Facebook.
Alright, so that's pretty much our I don't know what we would call that. Our thoughts.
Our hour-long discussion,
our thoughts of the reboot.
Oh, and I just want to say, if anybody's listening to this and is wondering why we haven't reviewed the new Green Lantern animated film Emerald Knights, is because we did a feature-length commentary on it with only the smartest of us participating.
And me.
If you'd have done that call, if you'd have done the interview later, I'd have been there.
Well, we told you about it a whole day and a half beforehand, so you suck ass, but that's not anything new.
I didn't know it was going to be in streaming. I'm sorry.
But we specifically said it.
But anyway, but yeah, so you guys should check that out, because it's the first time we've tried to do it, and I think it went pretty well.
Right? I think it did, too. We were.
I believe it went spectacular.
I think we were on rare form.
I think, and we talked for about 4 minutes afterwards, and that was too much for Frankie, but that's fine.
It was not 4 minutes, dude. It was legitimately at least 20 minutes.
That's enough. We're done here.
It was at least 20 minutes.
Everybody. Good night.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Don't forget to check out Kirby Crackle, the performance of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, the performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freewebs.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how, what have you done with your life? People around you keep lying. Use your will to right the wrong.
Ready?
You got the touch. You got the power.
Megatron must be stopped, no matter the cost.
Guys, Megatron must be stopped, no matter the cost.
I'll rip out your optics.
Where was it? Prime, look out!
Hot Rod, no.
When all are one.
Freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
The best thing.
You mean the camaraderie?
What? Calden, stop.
Oh my god, that was horrible. No, I'm cutting that out of the show.
No, I think it's funny. I think if two dudes are together being dudes with each other, it's camaraderie. I think it's hilarious.
Whatever happened to the nice?
How about camaraderie?
Okay. I guess now it has to go to the end of the show because now I can't.
How about camaraderie? Like no. I like that. Or camaraderie, please.
Anyway.
I can't think of any. I think I went on one date one time where she was like, let's go on a date. And then when I was there, it was like a miserable experience. And then later I found out she didn't want to be on the date. But I was
How
very,
can you have a bad date? I've never had a bad date. Like, what,
had like
what
two
do you
dates
have
in your life? I've had a lot of amazing dates. I just had one that I did not realize.
Listen, Brandon, I'm sure all the guys just like you for some reason.
All dates are the same.
No, no way. No way are all dates the same.
Stupid.
All dates are the same. It's you, there's a girl, there's possibly a table, possibly a bed.
Sometimes the table is the bed.
It's like a good hour or two you're spending time together. It's the same thing every time.
I agree.
You talk, you have a conversation, you discuss things.
It's usually dinner, movie, car.
Dinner, movie, don't call me again.
Don't call me. I love it's not like they don't even do it in your scenario, Eric. It's just dinner, movie, and then you're done.
Yeah, no, I don't. They just tell me to leave them alone. I'm like, but I'll wash your car. They're like, you don't even know what that is.
I don't even
know
have
what
a car
is.
Cool.
I don't wash no cars.
So, in today's Green Lantern's piece of history news, DC has marked a ginormous announcement. They are coming this September. They are taking back.
Wait. We need the drum roll.
No, we don't.
No, we really don't.
Are you playing on your stomach? I don't want to hear the answer.
My legs, actually.
You jerking off?
Oh,
is everybody not wearing pants? Am I the only one not wearing pants?
I am
pants?
Definitely wearing
I'm
pants.
I'm wearing boxers.
I am wearing pants.
I am not wearing pants. It's hot as balls
it
right now.
It is very hot.
It is hot as balls. I'm not wearing pants.
I'm in the basement. It's pretty cold.
I pay money to live in a regular futuristic apartment where there's something called air conditioning.
I haven't put it on the damn window.
Yeah, I just get to let you guys know.
I think that's what that freaking buzzing is.
I'm wearing pants, so.
What buzzing?
Eric's buzzing. Eric.
Oh. No, my air conditioner was turned off a long time ago. We turn on a couple hours, turn on like 2 hours just to cool out the apartment and stuff. So.
My computer
that's making that noise. It's actually really hot.
I'm in the freezing cold basement, so. I'm
hot as balls.
Pants.
Okay.
Pants.
Okay. Let's get this. Get
roll.
Hot balls.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
I'm split the recording.
Oh, see you next time for our review of the Green Lantern game, which is going
to
be me.
I
and movie.
Say.
And then the movie.
I'm actually going to run commentary on the game, so you're going to have to listen for 6 hours of me talking through the game.
Do you have the ability to like record your thing? Because like we could totally release that, like you just playing the game.
Like what? God damn it! God, you fuck! I fucking did that!
Eric.